greetings and happy Friday to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Thanks for tuning in this evening. Welcome to the sunny side of sports.
Stand up! Stand up! Stand up!
Friends, we can all listen to the sunny side of sports.
Yes, my friend.
The sunny side of sports.
Sunny side of sports.
The sunny side of sports show.
Great show, bro. This is sunny side of sports.
Sunny side of sports right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Stand up. Stand up. Stand up.
The National Basketball Association and the nonprofit Seed Project will be opening an elite academy in Senegal later this year. The academy will be the first NBA training center in Africa, and it aims to scout and develop young basketball players from across the continent. Sophia Christensen has the story from Dakar.
The NBA is no stranger to African talent. Bismack Biyombo of Congo, Luol Deng of South Sudan, and Fesu Sezeli of Nigeria. Those are just a few top players you will find on the pro basketball courts in the United States. The NBA is now hunting for fresh prospects in Africa, boys and eventually girls too, to join an elite training academy being opened at two locations outside Dakar. NBA Vice President and Managing Director for Africa, Amadou Galofal.
Some of the greatest players who ever played the game of basketball come out of the continent, but there was never a predictable path for them to achieve that. It almost happened by chance, by luck. So now with NBA Academy Africa, we want to make sure that young players who have a talent and passion for basketball now will have a path to achieve their goal.
The NBA signed the agreement with Senegal-based nonprofit, the Seed Project, in Dakar Thursday, officially launching the academy. 12 male players are being selected following a series of scouting programs conducted across Africa and two elite skills camps hosted in Senegal, the second of which took place in Thiès just this week. Those 12 male players will be the first to receive scholarships for the NBA Academy Africa. The NBA also plans to recruit and train a team of female elites. Astoun Diaye Diatta is a former WNBA player from Senegal.
It's all about changing minds, changing mentality, and just, like I said earlier, support. Because it's not easy. Life is not as easy as in developed countries. Girls are helpers, just like boys are home more sometimes for the girls in certain area than the boys.
The academy will provide a 360-degree approach, focusing on education, leadership, character development, and life skills. Students will be trained by current NBA coaches and compete in tournaments around the world. Retired NBA player Lionel Simons was in Dakar for the launch.
I just tell them to work hard and reach for their dreams just because it's out there and this is a great opportunity for guys to get better training and better equipment and to be better players and just to take advantage of this. And they can have an opportunity to play in the NBA or to play in Europe, to play wherever you want.
The NBA Academy Africa is one of six NBA projects designed to unearth talent from outside the United States. Three NBA academies have been launched in China. Two more are planned, one in India and another in Australia. The football may still be king in many African countries. NBA Vice President Brooks Meek sees opportunity.
You know, our sport is very, very easy to consume. It's also easy to play. So the more we can expose the future generation of Africans to basketball, I think we'll do a great job of growing this sport. And there's no better way to do it than through players from Africa playing in the NBA. And that's the goal of this project.
Organizers say the NBA Academy Africa could open as soon as September. Sophia Christensen for VOA News, Dakar.
Thanks, Sophia. The technical director of the NBA's Africa Academy is Roland Houston. He says as he and other NBA officials talk to and teach the young African players, they do look for one particular trait.
Discipline is important in everything. If you have discipline on the basketball court, hopefully that carries over into your life. The academy is not just about basketball, so we're trying to improve young men. That means academically, socially, give them leadership skills. So in order to have those traits, you have to have discipline. So we look for that. It's kind of challenging because we're not with them but so long. But we get a chance to speak to them individually, get to know them, get to know what makes them move, what their goals in life are. So discipline's important.
I'm sure the young male players who make it to the NBA's Africa Academy in Senegal will dream of one day competing in the NBA playoffs. In playoff results Thursday night, the Golden State Warriors defeated the visiting Utah Jazz 115-104 to take a 2-0 lead in their second round series. Our VOA basketball fans will remember all series in the NBA playoffs are best of 7 games, so the team that gets 4 wins advances to the next round. Kevin Durant tallied a team-high 25 points for the Warriors, while Gordon Hayward had a game-high 33 points for Utah. The series now moves to Utah for Game 3 on Saturday. Here in Washington, my magical Washington Wizards battered the Boston Celtics 116-89 and now trail the Celtics 2-1 in their second-round series. The scrappy contest featured 8 technical fouls, 3 ejections, and a whole lot of bad blood. All-star point guard John Wall had a game-high 24 points for the Wizards, who held Celtics all-star guard Isaiah Thomas to 13 points after he scored a playoff-high 53 points in Game 2. Thomas talks about the chippy rivalry with the Wizards.
We don't like them and they don't like us. That's just what it is. 2 teams competing. Whatever bad blood we've had in the season is carried over to the playoffs. But we're just competing and trying to win. And they did that today. We took care of business at home. Now we just gotta try to get Game 4.
Game 4 is Sunday night at the Verizon Center Arena here in Washington, located just a few blocks from our Voice of America headquarters.
The Voice of America.
VOA. It's Cinco de Mayo, an important date in Mexican culture that commemorates the Mexican Army's unlikely victory over French forces at the Battle of Puebla on May 5, 1862. Mexican boxing will also be celebrated this weekend. Saul Canelo Alvarez fights Julio Cesar Chavez Jr. on Saturday night in Las Vegas, Nevada. I asked our reigning prince of pugilistics, Namdi Hollywood Moueta, how the all-Mexican showdown is shaping up.
Mano a mano, the fight for Mexico, Sonny. We're all waiting for the weigh-in. The weigh-in is on Friday, Sonny. We don't know how Julio Cesar Chavez will look when he mounts a scale because the weight is 165, and what happens if he comes in over 165?
Will there be a penalty?
The penalty is £1 million. But the question becomes, what happens if he comes in more than 10 pounds, Sonny? Will the fight be cancelled? Remember, millions of fans are waiting for this fight. The arena is already sold out, T-Mobile Arena. It's Cinco de Mayo weekend. Hotel rooms are booked. You can't just turn around and say, hey, this guy is overweight, we're not going to fight. So you may have to send him into the steam room to get him to melt down a little bit, fine him heavily. Hopefully he comes out Saturday night, he puts on a good fight, but we don't know. We will know Friday afternoon at the weigh-in.
Namdi, you mentioned the big UK pay-per-view numbers for Joshua Klitschko. What about pay-per-view numbers for Canelo Chavez Jr.? Can they break $1 million?
No, they cannot break $1 million because you have to understand these two warriors, they don't speak English. So the mainstream American fight media, they're not really big on Canelo Chavez. It's the Mexican fans. They will come out. They will buy the pay-per-view. So the pay-per-view number we're looking at is close to like $500,000. $500,000 to $1 million.
Tactically, what can we expect from Canelo Chavez Jr.?
We'll see action toe-to-toe. If Chavez is in good shape, it will be a good fight. Chavez is a live dog in this fight. Chavez can punch. It's going to be a knockout. It's not going to be hold me, grab me, run around the ring. Somebody will go. And Canelo can punch. And Canelo knows that he must perform because Triple G is waiting for the September showdown, which is like the biggest thing in the fight game we're looking for. So Canelo is ready. Chavez is in shape. He comes in good shape. The weight is good. Expect an explosive fight, which may even go down as one of the fights of 2017. Remember again, it's been a big year for boxing in 2017. Boxing is not dead. Coming this Saturday night, T-Mobile Arena sold out. We still got some big fights coming, Sonny. Boxing is alive.
Thanks, Namdi. That's our reigning prince of pugilistics, Namdi Hollywood Moeta. Elsewhere, former world heavyweight champion Mike Tyson says he expects Anthony Joshua to dominate boxing for the next few years after his thrilling TKO victory over Vladimir Klitschko.
Hey, listen, absolutely. When there's a new heavyweight champion and he's explosive like that and he wins the title like that, the whole game changed. All the little guys that have been making a lot of money, they're not going to make that money anymore. It's all going to be about Joshua and the heavyweight. That's what's spectacular about him. He's the right guy for the job.
Iron Mike Tyson spoke in Dubai in the United Arab Emirates, where he's opening a new boxing academy.
Well, our headquarters would be in Las Vegas, but Dubai seemed like the best place to do it at the particular time. Both of my partners thought it was the best place. They thought it was the best insight at this particular time. And I had to follow my partners. They made the right decision.
Mike Tyson says he's planning to open 8 boxing academies around the world. He says he hopes the academies will provide a positive sporting outlet for children who might be facing negative life situations.
Well, listen, more than anything, kids want to be off the street. They just have nowhere to go. That's what this is going to establish for them, a place to go. If they choose to, if they want to stay off the street, they have a place to go, and that would be our academy. That's how boxing starts. Kids are bored, and they want to get off the street, and they want to go up there and try it out. That's not necessarily mean they're going to be fighters, but they want to try it out.
That's former world heavyweight boxing champion Mike Tyson, and he was speaking in Dubai in the United Arab Emirates.
Hey, g'day, mates. Remember me? This is the old sports emperor with a red-hot listening tip. That's right. Give a listen to my pal, the bright and lively Sunny Man on the sunny side of sports right here on The Voice of America.
Hello, Africa. Dr. Larry Zamoja here, Chairman, Chief Executive, Sports Radio 88.9 Brilla FM. Keep getting sporty sunshine with Sunny Young. We all do at Sports Radio 88.9 Brilla FM, broadcasting out of the cities of Lagos, Abuja, Kaduna, and Onitsha in Nigeria, as well as the World Wide Web on www.brillafm.net. I tell you this. It's always a thrill, yes, a thrill, to remain on the sunny side on Brilla with Sunny. Keep listening, Africa.
Keep on the sunny side, always on the sunny side. Keep on the sunny side of life. It will help us every day. It will brighten all the way. It will keep on the sunny side of life.
I'm Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to the sunny side of sports on The Voice of America.
Voice of America!
Joining us now with a package of African football news is reporter Samson Omale. And Samson kicks off with South Africa bringing back a coach for a second time to take charge of the national team.
The South African Football Association, SAFA, have appointed Stuart Baxter as the new coach of their national team following an announcement on Thursday. The 63-year-old returns for a second spell in charge of Bafana Bafana, having previously led the side during African Zone qualifying for the 2006 FIFA World Cup in Germany. He replaces Ephraim Sheikh Mashaba, who was dismissed back in December. Farouk Khan is a member of the SAFA selection committee, and he says Stuart Baxter is the right man for the job.
I think Stuart's record speaks for itself, both at club level. I think when he was involved with Bafana, he didn't have a bad run. That Stuart's also his knowledge of local football was very important to us.
Baxter will transition into the role once he completes his current duties as coach of SuperSport United after the South African Football Association reached an agreement with the South African club to acquire the services of a former Finland coach.
There were some candidates that had a lot of experience, that had a fantastic track record, but they struggled in other areas of local knowledge.
Stainway coaches, former Egyptian national team manager Hassan Shahata has confirmed that he was approached by Nigeria and Ghana, but the negotiations broke down. The 69-year-old has parted ways with Petrojet after losing 1-0. Shahata led Egypt to 3 consecutive African Cup of Nations. Head coach of Nigeria's beach soccer team, the Supersign Eagles, Aldo Ejo, has been explaining the reasons behind Nigeria's ouster from the 2017 FIFA Beach Soccer World Cup in the Bahamas. The head coach said the shoddy preparations of his team was responsible largely for their poor showing at the competition.
All we need is good preparation, not fire brigade preparation assists to go to World Cup.
I am Samson Omale in Abuja, Nigeria.
Thanks, Samson, and have a nice weekend. Now let's go to the Bahamas, where Tahiti will take on Iran, and Italy will play 4-time champion Brazil in Saturday's semifinal matches at FIFA's Beach Soccer World Cup. In quarterfinal results Thursday, Tahiti topped Paraguay 6-4. Brazil edged defending champion Portugal 4-3. Iran beat Switzerland by that same 4-3 scoreline. And Italy eliminated Senegal 5-1. You definitely see more goals in beach soccer than you do in regular soccer. And let's give a sunny side of sports salute to the Italian Gabriele Gori, who is the leading scorer at the Beach Soccer World Cup with 14 goals. And Italy is also the top scoring team in the Bahamas with 30 goals heading into Saturday's semifinals. The final is scheduled for Sunday at the National Beach Soccer Arena in Nassau, the Bahamas. Joining us once again is Andrew Palcheski, the Voice of America's social media reporter. Sporty greetings and happy Friday, Andrew.
Sporty greetings and a very happy Friday to you as well, Sonny.
What's trending in the sports world?
I know if there's one thing that you like other than sports, it's a theme when we do the social media segment.
Love the themes.
Love the themes. Here's a theme for you. We are here in Studio 22 at the Voice of America. So let's go with the theme, the number two.
The number two, okay.
The number two. Starting with hashtag breaking two. 2 hours. 2 hours is a number, is a milestone that has yet to be breached in the marathon. Well, Nike and a team of elite runners will attempt to do that this weekend, run a sub 2-hour marathon. That's why it's hashtag breaking two, breaking that 2-hour mark. It's going to be quite a feat to try to undertake. The current world record in the marathon is 2 hours, 2 minutes, and 57 seconds by Kenya's Dennis Kimeto, which was set in 2014. So the runners that they have, the three runners, are going to have to run this 3 minutes faster than anyone in the world has ever run it. And those three runners are Eliud Kipchoge, 32-year-old Kenyan, who won gold in the marathon at the 2016 Rio Olympics; Zersine Tadis, 35-year-old from Eritrea, the world record holder in the half marathon; and Lalisa Desisa, I love that rhyming name, 26-year-old Ethiopian, the 2013 and 2015 Boston Marathon winner. These three men have been selected by Nike. They feel like these are the three that may be able to break this 2-hour mark.
Now, so they're all going to run a marathon distance.
They're all going to run the marathon distance. Now, the reason why this marathon is not, if they do break this record, it's not going to be a world record, is because it's like a laundry list of different reasons and ways that they've tailored this marathon to try to get them under 2 hours. So they're running it at the Autodromo Nazionale Monza, the Formula One race course just north of Milan in Italy. They're going to have interchangeable pacemakers as they run. They're going to have special shoes designed by Nike that Nike says is going to make them run faster and use less energy. It's a flat surface because it's a Formula One racetrack. I think it only has a slight incline on the curves. They're going to have drinks delivered to them, sports drinks delivered to them via moped and drivers riding alongside them. There's so many different qualities and characteristics to this marathon that it is not going to be an official world record. And that actually has sparked a lot of criticism on social media. People saying it's not an actual marathon, it's not legitimate. They want this to happen in real life, not because of some publicity stunt done by Nike. But we'll see if they can indeed do it this weekend. They have 3 days, a three-day window they've set from May 6th through 8th. They're going to pick the most ideal day with the best weather conditions, the best wind conditions. So we'll see if it happens this weekend.
Andrew, what is number two on your list of number two sports social media items?
Number two is the world number two in tennis, Novak Djokovic, making a big and surprising move today, firing his coach, fitness coach, and physiotherapist. Basically, he's cleaned house. He got rid of his entire team ahead of the French Open, just 3 weeks away from the French Open. Of course, Novak Djokovic is world number two. He'd like to be number one again, which is a position he's held for many weeks. Novak Djokovic hasn't won a Grand Slam tournament since the French Open last year. He struggled at other smaller tournaments. So he tweeted out this news. He said, I have some news I'd like to share with you. And it's linked to an article that's titled, I Want to Find the Winning Spark on the Court Again. And he seems to think he can find that winning spark if he cleans house, gets rid of his team, and does what he calls shock therapy. He's flying solo until he finds a new coach and a new team. It's just him. He's going to the French Open alone. So fans of Novak Djokovic are in shock. They think this is a radical move. Again, only 3 weeks to the French Open. Maybe not the most ideal time to clean house. But Rafa and Roger fans are rejoicing. There are a lot of jokes that they're thrilled at this move, that they might have a better chance than to win and move up in the rankings. And a lot of people noting what a strange sport tennis is, that a year ago Djokovic was number one and the French Open champion. Federer and Nadal were out with injuries. Now they're the two to watch, and Djokovic is in a free fall. So a lot of eyes on Novak Djokovic, a lot of eyes going to be on that French Open in a few weeks to see if maybe the shock therapy works for him, if he can make a run there, or if this free fall will continue.
And I know at the elite levels of tennis, they do change their coaches occasionally. I remember Andy Murray dropping Yvonne Lendl recently, that he needed a change, a spark, as you'd mentioned.
Yeah,
so,
and even Novak Djokovic dropped Boris Becker, his coach that he was with for a number of years, said he needed somebody new. But to get rid of your entire team, that's pretty drastic.
What's next for number two Friday, Andrew?
Well, finally, the Kentucky Derby is tomorrow. It is called the most exciting 2 minutes in sports because winning it usually takes horses about 2 minutes to run the 1 1/4 mile track. Nyquist, the winner last year, ran it in 2 minutes, 1.31 seconds. Fastest time ever is just a shade under 2 minutes at 1 minute, 59.4 seconds, run by none other than the great Secretariat. So we talked about Patch, the one-eyed horse that is the fan favorite, and we talked about some of the long shots yesterday. Let's talk about, finally, the favorites. We have four horses who are towards the top of the pack in the 17-post Irish War Cries at about 6-1 odds. 15th post is McCracken at 5-1, along with the 5-post Always Dreaming is about 5-1 odds. And the favorite, number 14, Classic Empire. A lot of optimism for this horse. All four of these horses, the odds are very close. Any of them could win. And in fact, in the age of social media, we're seeing a lot of people talking about their bets online. A lot of people picking Classic Empire as the favorite, but picking the others. I liked one person tweeted out their picks for the superfecta, the top four finishers, and said, remember this if I'm right, forget it if I'm not. So a lot of that you're seeing on social media. And a lot of instances in the age of cell phone cameras of the horses behind the scenes. I actually saw one video of Classic Empire, and the phone was about 1 foot away from his face. So you got a really up close and personal look at that horse. We'll see if he can pull it out on Saturday.
Andrew Palcheski, the VOA's social media reporter. Have a good weekend, Andrew.
You too.
And that wraps up the May 5th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to my producer this evening, Kwame Ofori. Thanks also to VOA engineer Thomas Blondet. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Have a good weekend, everyone. And that's the Sunny Side of Sports. We'll be right back. Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
Ending illegal immigration to the United States is a top priority of the Trump administration. In late April, during a trip to the southwestern United States, U.S. Attorney General Jeff Sessions and U.S. Secretary of Homeland Security John Kelly spoke in San Diego, California, about why it is necessary to crack down on illegal immigration into the United States. In our system of government, the Department of Homeland Security and the Department of Justice enforce the laws passed by the United States Congress. That includes our immigration laws. These laws exist to keep our people safe and our nation sovereign, said Homeland Security Secretary Kelly. But it's about more than just obeying the law. Two of the major reasons for the crackdown on illegal immigration are the high risk of death or injury to the immigrants and the criminal aspects associated with illegal entry into the United States. For one, violent criminal gangs are using these routes to smuggle drugs and other contraband, as well as members of their criminal organizations. These criminals then work to extend the influence of their organizations into new territories, where they frequently prey on their compatriots. Human smuggling across the border is also a big concern. Known colloquially as coyotes, these smugglers demand exorbitant sums of money to guide people through dangerous territory and across the border. Not only is the route very dangerous, it is not uncommon for coyotes to assault, abuse, extort, and even kill their charges. We're not going to make it impossible for people to travel between our countries, but we're going to end this illegality, said Attorney General Sessions. We're not going to stop until we get it done. This is the closest we'll ever get to getting it done. So we need to make sure we get to the finish line. It's already been reduced as much as 70%, this illegality. And we're going to get it to zero and keep it there, and we'll be proud of the new system that we have, he said. We admit 1.1 million people each year lawfully into America. So we're not ending immigration. We're just ending illegal immigration.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
VOAAfrica.com.
News, features, music from Africa and around the world. You want it? We have it on VOAAfrica.com.
VOAAfrica.com.
All day. All night.
Hello, this is Heather Maxwell, host of Music Time in Africa. Coming up this Sunday, I have a super hot show. Such great music, current hits and classics from Nigeria, South Africa, Ghana, Senegal, and Liberia. You'll also meet an indie artist from Ghana who is on the rise, Checheku. So tune in and join me, peeps, Saturday and Sunday at 15 and 2000 UTC. Don't be square, be there. Music Time in Africa. Peace out.
This is a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
Malaria kills thousands of people each year, but there are some simple things you can do to protect your family. If you can, put screens in your windows. A simple screen can keep disease-carrying mosquitoes out of your home. If you go outside, wear light-colored clothing and long pants and long sleeves, especially when it is dark and mosquitoes are most active. After it rains, empty all containers of standing water. The water in just one discarded tire can become a breeding ground for thousands of mosquitoes. Make sure your home is clear of debris and anything that holds water, including discarded cans, water containers, and rubbish. Empty containers that livestock drink from regularly so that mosquitoes cannot breed there.
That was a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.